Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Notice the statement, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And I want to speak for a little while tonight on the subject of the stewardship of influence. The stewardship of influence. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. If one person will be obedient, their influence can reach many for Jesus Christ. Now, this verse obviously is speaking about Christ in the context. It's talking about Christ contrasted with Adam. By the disobedience of one, that would be Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, that's the primary interpretation of the verse, so by the obedience of Christ shall many be made righteous. Aren't you glad that Christ was obedient tonight when he walked this earth? You know, the Bible tells us that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient. That's what the Father told him to go and do. Son, I have a commandment, a mission for you to discharge. You're going to go down to earth and you are going to die for the sins of the world. Man, that would be something to be commissioned to do, to go and die. But Christ was obedient. We have insights into the Bible that he could have called legions of angels. And I don't believe Christ for a second would have been disobedient, but he made it known to those that were weeping for him as he carried his cross to Golgotha's hill. He made it known to them. He said, don't you know right now I could call legions of angels? And I mean, it was possible, and I'm sure probably even reasonable for most people to say, I'm not doing this. They're not worth it. But not Jesus. He was obedient. He was obedient unto death, and by one man's obedience, and I want you to apply that statement to yourself, but primarily it's talking about Christ. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And I want to encourage us tonight to have the same testimony Christ had. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And we need to be good stewards of our influence, the influence that God has given us. Now, question, Jesus' obedience, through the obedience of Christ, how many have been made righteous since that time? Through his obedience. You ever think of that? We have no idea. I heard Dr. Raymond Barber one time say that, as far as he knows, there's been documented at least 69 million martyrs for Christ since Christ left this earth. Almost 2,000 years ago. That's just how many loved Christ so much they were willing to die for him. They were willing to die for him. How many others have been saved by him? Did you ever think of that? By the obedience of one, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions have become righteous. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That was the prophecy in Paul's day, and many have been made righteous because of Christ's obedience. Now, we're made righteous, so don't get proud about that. We don't become righteous. All right? It's not some doing of our own. Where finally God says, you know, you've improved yourself so much, I just think you're a righteous person. No. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous. We don't become righteous. We don't evolve into righteousness or something. We're made righteous. We have no righteousness of our own. That's imputed. That's put to our account. But just think of this as the ultimate role model tonight. Christ's obedience. The obedience of just one person, Christ. Many shall be made righteous. And I want to encourage you, though it's much smaller, to be faithful with your influence. I want to encourage you tonight to be obedient. Obedient to your calling. Obedient to the Lord. How many people are going to be in heaven? We don't know. In Revelation 19:1, it says this, and after these things I heard a great voice of, listen to these next four words, much people in heaven. Much people in heaven. Much people, and there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. And all of them got there one way, and that was through faith in Jesus Christ. Many. Many were turned to righteousness because of the Lord Jesus Christ's obedience. In Daniel 12, in verse number 3, it says this, and they that be wise shall be shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The Bible indicates in Daniel 12 and verse 3 that it is possible for people like us to turn many to righteousness. To turn many to righteousness. I had a wonderful time in Ohio this past week. Preached four times down there. I was preaching at a church. My wife went with me, and then it was about an hour drive down to the Bible college in Massillon, Massillon Baptist College. Hour drive back, and the next day hour drive down to the Christian school, same campus. An hour drive back, and then we had the evening services. They were great, well attended. The pastor was just thrilled to death. He was just almost gushing over the number of people that came out for the evening services Wednesday and Thursday, and I sensed your prayers. I sensed the power of God was present, and the Lord was working, and the college kids were riveted to the message, and the Christian school kids were riveted to the message, and it just was a blessing. But many of you don't know this. I went down to the Massillon Baptist College, Massillon Baptist Christian School, which are ministries of the Massillon Baptist Temple in Massillon, Ohio. Dr. Bruce Cummins was the pastor of the church for 54 years until he died in 2004. To know Brother Cummins was an amazing experience. I got to hear him several times to preach while he was alive, visited his church there, the church there that he pastored in Massillon. When my wife and I were looking for Bible colleges back in 1980, I think it was, 81, we drove down to Massillon and we went to church there. And I stood in his pulpit. Nobody was there this week. The whole church was closed down. But after preaching, I stood in his pulpit and looked out at the 2,500-seat auditorium. And I remember the day we were there and how full it was. Just with people and people being saved and people being baptized. And the college, they used to have about 300 students in the college and the Christian school on a 75-acre campus. It's like one of the most beautiful campuses I've ever seen a church have. I don't know about my wife, but man, just a beautiful, huge auditorium and an educational building, three stories high with Sunday school rooms everywhere. And then all these athletic fields behind it, and way over to the left is huge Christian school, and way to the right on this little beautiful hill, it's like going to Chestnut Ridge Park for church. And there was the pastor's house, and then behind it were the big dorms for the ladies to stay in, and the big dorms for the men to stay in. It's just a beautiful campus, and so on and so forth. And just thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people were saved and are still being saved through that ministry there in Massillon, Ohio. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are in the ministry today all over the world because of the Bible College and the Christian school has trained hundreds and hundreds of champions for Christ. And I got to thinking about that, and Dr. Bruce Cummins was just, if you knew him, he was just like the gentlest man you'd ever meet. He was just profoundly quiet. And he wasn't what we might call a hellfire and damnation preacher, although he was straightforward, independent, fundamental Baptist, straight as an arrow, as could be, in 54 years of faithfulness. But I thought back to all of that when he and his wife decided to go to Massillon, Ohio. And through the obedience of one, many were made righteous. And though he's been dead for almost 5 years, there's still hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people going to that church, and hundreds are being saved and baptized, and others are being trained for the ministry, and so on and so forth. And it makes me shiver to think of what of it when he was starting out, if he'd have said no. It's my life. I want to do what I want with it. You know, a lot of people have done that who were called to the ministry, but not Dr. Cummins. And let me tell you something. He was just, if you were in a group of people, he'd be the most insignificant person there. He was the kind of guy who would go out to the woods with a sleeping bag and wouldn't return for 6 days and just spend that time out there in prayer and fasting. And just 54 years of miracles he observed as God provided for that church and just brought thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Christ. Down there in Massillon. And you're talking about a stone's throw away from Canton Baptist Temple that was running 5,000 and Akron Baptist Temple that was running 10,000. And there he is. I mean, just, you got to go down these back streets and then, I mean, I don't know what it's like. It's almost like driving through like little streets and little houses, then bang, there's this huge campus and you're driving back trying to find this place and you're thinking, who would put a church here? This is not visible. And I thought about this text when I thought about Dr. Cummins. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It says about John the Baptist in Luke chapter number 1 and verses 14 through 17, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. One man's obedience. John the Baptist. One man's obedience. And he turned many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. It makes you shudder to think, what if Christ would have said, no, I'm just not doing this? It makes you shudder to think, what if Brother Bruce Cummins would have said, no, honey, I want to do something else for a living. It makes you shudder to think, what if John the Baptist had said, no, I'm tired of the deserts. I've been here all my life. He was in the deserts till the time of his showing. Imagine that, eating locusts, wild honey. That may have gotten old. You know, he may have said, enough of this. Everybody else is having a good time. But by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. See, they were good stewards over the influence that God had given them. There was a man one time, and maybe some of you have heard this story. His name was Joe Boyd. He grew up in a church down in Texas, and Joe Boyd was a famous football player. He was an All-American college football player. And this was way back in the 1940s, yet he was famous. And one day he came down the aisle during a church service and announced to the pastor that God had called him to preach. And the pastor was thrilled because this was Joe Boyd, famous football player. And he stopped the service and he announced to everybody, "Ladies and gentlemen, God has called Joe Boyd to be a preacher of the gospel." And everybody cheered, everybody went wild, everybody said, "Man, God did the right thing there. What a choice God made. And what a wonderful thing." And you know something? Joe Boyd became a great preacher. He's still alive today, preaching the word, holding evangelistic services. He's one of the great evangelists of our day, and our lives are still going. In that same church, there was a 17-year-old boy who weighed 100 pounds. Picture that. A 17-year-old boy, a little boy, who weighed 100 pounds, who very shortly after came down the same aisle and said to the pastor, "I just came to announce that God has called me to preach." 17 years old, 100 pounds. The pastor didn't know what to do. He stopped the service and he said something like this. If I remember the story correctly, he said something like this: "Now, folks, we know God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And I want to announce tonight that little Jackie Boy Hiles feels that God has called him to preach." And Brother Hiles would later say in his life, nobody said amen. Nobody cheered. Nobody knew what to do, and they just closed the service and went home. Brother Hiles, shortly after, was called away to military service. He served for a couple of years in the paratroopers in World War II and so on, and came back. And he began to prepare for the ministry. He preached one time. I think he said his first sermon lasted about 3 minutes or something like that. I don't remember all the details, but somebody came up to him afterwards and said, "Brother Hiles, you might as well forget this idea of preaching. It's not going to work." And he was discouraged, but he knew God had called him, and the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And he just kept plugging away and being faithful, and he married a dear, precious woman who supported him in the ministry, and he got in the ministry, and he got in a small church in Texas, and then he went to another church, and finally, God called him to leave Texas and to come to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And he stayed there for decades, decades and decades. He built that church up so that when he died, it was the largest Sunday school in the United States of America. And it was averaging, when he died, about 13,000 people in church every single week. I just read a news article this week. Now, he's been dead since, I think, 01. I don't remember. He's been gone 6-7 years now. I was just reading an article about the church there, even though he's been gone for years, that the Spanish church is averaging 2,600 people. That's the Spanish. And to go there, you can't know English. If you're bilingual, you go to the English. To go to the Spanish, you can only know Spanish. That's just the Spanish department. And what I'm saying is that when that 17-year-old little boy, 100 pounds, was called by God that day, "By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." God is calling you. God is calling me, and God has called me and all of us to a life of influence. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be the next Jack Hiles or the next Bruce Cummings, but you never know. These are. If you ever met Bruce Cummings, you'd have said, "Boy, that's not the first guy I would choose if I was God." He was just this quiet, shy guy. And if you saw Jack Hiles when he was a teenager or something, you'd say, "Man, that's probably the last one in this church I would choose if I was God." But they were called, and they became obedient. And they were good stewards of their influence. And by their obedience, by the obedience of one person, can you imagine if Brother Hiles had said, "No, Can you imagine if he just said no, and then God, he'd gotten to heaven when he died, because he was saved, and God would have shown him what could have happened? But praise the Lord, he gets to see what did happen. And Brother Cummins got to see what did happen. Dallas Billington. Eighth grade education. Working in a tire factory in Akron, Ohio. Extremely burdened for that wicked, wicked city. Eighth grade education. God called him. Did you ever see a picture of him? Okay, and I wouldn't be unkind. I don't want to even go any further with that statement. But he's not like the most charismatic-looking guy. I've studied the church. I've been there. I have a book on its history. I've read its history. It's fascinating. He and his wife just said, we've got to do something for this town. And they gathered up a bunch of people and said, how about helping us start a church? And they had their first service, 13 people. Well, he had heard that 13 was an unlucky number. It's not. We're not superstitious people. But he had heard that. So he grabbed a janitor out in the hall and said, would you come and sit in on the service? We want to have 14 people here today. And so he was the pioneer of the bus ministry, really, in America. In the 40s and the 50s, he was using buses all over Akron. And the church grew to over 10,000 people in church every single Sunday in Akron, Ohio. At the time, before Brother Hiles, some years later, they had the largest Sunday school in the world that was known. A guy with an eighth grade education, but by the obedience of one, shall many become righteous. And brethren, I want to encourage you to be obedient. And maybe we're not talking about building mega churches or something like these men did. Maybe we are. I don't know. There might be sitting somebody in this room that not one of us even knows you're here or sees you, but God sees you and your heart's right and God's going to bless you. D.L. Moody. No education. He was so crazy there wasn't a church that ordained him. He died unordained. D.L. Moody. But he started the Moody Bible Institute, Chicago, Moody Church. Not only the great works in Chicago, but the great works out here in Massachusetts. He affected England. And he was the one, the little teenager, that the shoe salesman went into the shoe store, Sunday school teacher, went into the shoe store where he was selling shoes and said, I don't think you're saved. You've been in my Sunday school class. I don't think you're saved. And he led him to Christ. D.L. Moody felt called to preach, and you've heard the famous story. He sat underneath the preaching of somebody who said that the world has yet to see what God can do with one man who's completely dedicated to him. And Moody said, I'll be that man. The churches thought he was crazy. He'd take horses and hitch up trailers and get a bunch of poor kids from Chicago and bring them to the churches, and the churches would literally put their hands up and say, no, we don't want those kids in here. Finally, he came to the conclusion, I'm going to have to start my own Sunday school. I'm going to have to start my own church. By the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. And he hooked up with Dr. R.A. Torrey. Now, he was educated, Dr. R.A. Torrey, without a doubt. But as an evangelist, it is said that Dr. R.A. Torrey saw 100,000 souls saved in his campaigns before his death. What if Torrey had said, I don't want to do this? You ever think of that? Now then, let's break it down to us. What might one bus captain do through his obedience? That ministry will burn you out. But through his obedience, he can bring many to righteousness. What can one nursery worker do? By just being faithful in the nursery for years and years and years and years and years and letting moms come and hear the word of God. What can one letter writer do? who just keeps writing and writing and writing and writing and writing letters and enclosing tracts and sending the tracts out to homes. What can one soul winner do? By the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. It's possible that a soul winner with a goal could lead one person to Christ every week of their life. I know that's possible. That would be 500 in 10 years, 1,000 in 20 years, 1,500 in 30 years, and 2,000 in 40 years. If somebody just set out and said, "Dear God, let me cross paths with one person this week that I could lead to Jesus Christ." What could one children's church worker do if they just saw maybe two people saved every week in their junior church? That's 100 a year. That's 1,000 in 10 years. But sometimes I don't think we have this long range of vision. We just look at the trouble the kids gave us this morning and said, "Who can take my place? Who will get me out of here?" And pastors, not just mega churches, but out in Springville, the Faith Baptist Church could reach a soul or two every week and have a couple visitors come every week, and the next thing you know, in 10 years, you've affected 1,000 people. Or Pastor Friedman could say, "I'm tired of working here in obscurity," or whatever. The same thing here. We don't have the largest church on earth, but, you know, sometimes I shiver. Sometimes I shiver to think back 25 years ago when, with some fear and trepidation, my wife and I and a couple other people said, "Well, let's just start and see what happens." And now the things that have happened, and I'm the first to admit more could have happened. We could have made more happen. I could have made more happen. But folks, through the history of this church, we've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved. There's been almost 800 baptized that we know of since the church started. And by the obedience of a few people back then, many shall be made righteous. And by the obedience of one man in Springville, many shall be made righteous. And what about you? God's calling you to do something. Even if it's just to be a soul winner. I know that's a command, not a calling, but you know what I mean. Going to Hopevale, leading one girl to Christ every week. A lady Sunday school teacher being faithful with maybe 8 girls. And then after 10 years, she's influenced 50 girls who've come through her class. Not only does our obedience provide others with an opportunity to be saved, but I want to say finally, our obedience also provides others with an opportunity to serve. In closing, turn to 1 Samuel 17. Most of you know from your history, and we're all tremendous Bible theologians in this church, you say 1 Samuel 17, you know what's coming. Right? Amen. I won't ask you, but it's David and Goliath. The obedience of one. Who was he? David. And we know the story. I'm just going to cut to the end of the story here. David fights Goliath. After this guy's been cursing God for 40 days and all the armies of Judah and Israel there, nobody will fight the guy. Everybody's afraid. And they need one person that's going to rise up above fear, and that's David. He comes along. He's called in this chapter, by the way, a stripling. I looked up the stripling in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it implies that he's still a teenager here. He's called a youth twice, and that's referring to a lad, one between boyhood and manhood. I don't know whether he's a teenager or not. I'm not saying that, but that's what the definition of a stripling is. It's called a stripling. And I'm saying to you, boys and girls here, I'm saying to you teens here, you can be an influence. And you can be a good steward of your influence at your age. And so we see, we all know David's obedience. We've all heard this song since we were, since we were kids. But notice what happens. He slays Goliath in verse 51. Notice what happens in verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley. Notice that. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and smote. The obedience of one gave many the opportunity to serve. The obedience of one. You know, that's how it is in churches. You know, there were people that would run down Brother Hiles and run and leave his church and run down Brother Cummins and leave his church and run down Brother Billington and leave his church. What they should have done is said, sir, thank you for being obedient because your obedience opened for me an area for service. And now because you were obedient in your past, all these ministries developed and that gives me an opportunity to serve my God. And brethren, your obedience can bring many to Christ. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I don't care if you're a lady and you just go out soul winning. Boy, God can use ladies. And you're in Baptist Boys Battalion or whatever you're doing. Gracious girls, your obedience on that bus route and going into the prison, your obedience can turn many to righteousness. We've seen souls saved everywhere around here. We've seen them saved in nursing homes. We've seen them saved in prisons. We've seen them saved at Hopevale. We've seen them saved out on the street soul winning. We've seen them saved through the bus ministry. We've seen souls just saved through obedience. Obedience. I want to encourage you to be a good steward of the influence God has given you. And it'll bring many to righteousness, and it'll also give an opportunity for many to serve. Hopevale gives an opportunity for ladies to serve, and the prison gives an opportunity for men to serve, and the nursing homes give an opportunity for many to go to the nursing homes and serve, and soul winning, visitation, anyone can go out on that. We had a pretty good crowd yesterday, and my wife and I just enjoyed getting into some homes, sitting down with people, opening up the Bible, reading the Bible to them, trying to get them saved. And I went through the gospel entirely with two people yesterday. Both of them told me, you know, I've done that. I'm saved. I've trusted the Lord as my Savior. Well, good. We need to review that. Praise the Lord. But God wants to use you. And who knows? You might be the one that instigates a ministry in this church, Faith Baptist, that might allow a few other people to come along and serve. Not do something. We're not doing something now. The stewardship of our influence. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for so many men, for so many women. Lord, I think of that lady down in Missouri that we met who started a Thursday morning Bible study for women. And when we were there, she had 120 people, 120 women coming to her Thursday morning Bible study, all ladies. It was just an act of God. Her pastor let her do it. She was sound. She was a good Bible teacher. And the women from the community who wouldn't come to the church otherwise came in, and she had 120 she was teaching every week and turning many of them to righteousness. Oh, God, you can use men. You can use women. Lord, help us to get the message tonight. Please, Lord, help us, even if we just got to keep plugging along at a ministry and that ministry only sees one saved a week, that's 50 in a year, Father. That's 510 years. Lord, help us to be good stewards of that influence. Maybe our church is just going to stay this size, but we've still reached many for thee. Lord, I know we can do more. We've helped so many missionaries. Lord, help us, we pray. Thank you, Jesus, that through your obedience, the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. We've lifted up your example to follow. May we follow it. We'll never reach the number you've reached, but I pray the same testimony you had, Lord Jesus, that the men and women that are in this church will have someday, that through their obedience, many shall be made righteous. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our psalm books to